Well, good morning. Good to see everyone here this morning. We want to welcome our visitors. We're glad to see you with us. We're glad for those tuning in on our Facebook live stream. We're happy that you have chosen to tune in with us this morning as well. I want to start off by giving a personal note of thanks for your prayers, your texts, your cards, the meals prepared and sent on behalf of my family. With each and every call, text, and email, meals prepared and meals sent to us, it brightened our day and helped recovering a little better. So thank you so much from our family. We cannot thank you enough for your love and support. And we're so thankful to see the answered prayer, that seeing families who are affected by sickness are able to be with us this morning. This morning's lesson is entitled, David Found Distress and Sorrow, taken from our text in Psalm 116. Psalm 116, we're going to be turning there very shortly and beginning in verse 1, but really what we're going to be focusing in on right away is in verse 3. We started the year off talking about David. We spent about 2 months with some David-centric themes, talking about David compared with Saul, David's battle with Goliath, David compared with Jesus. And then later in the summer, we talked about how David overcame fear in that battle with Goliath. We talked about it from a different aspect. And so I thought it'd be appropriate to end the year to talk about David. But this is our last Sunday to do that, because next Sunday is a special song and scripture service that many of the men have signed up for to help aid us in talking and singing and reading about the theme that faith is the victory. So we will close the year out singing and reading about the theme, faith is the victory. And so that'll be next Sunday morning, which means this Sunday is the last time to kind of close the year out where we started, and that is with David. Turn with me to Psalm 116. And you'll notice that it does not credit this to David, and we'll talk about that in just a second. But it says, I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I shall call upon him as long as I live. The cords of death encompassed me, and the terrors of Sheol came upon me. I found distress and sorrow. Sheol is Hades. If you were to look at this in the Hebrew translation over into the Greek, it would say the terrors of Hades encompassed me. Hades or Sheol is the place of the dead. What he's saying is death is terrifying him. Psalm 116 author is uncredited, but its themes and words are very similar to two other psalms by David in Psalm 40 and 86. So as we go through this morning, I am going to talk about it as David, and we're going to compare the words here in Psalm 116 to Psalm 40 and 86. I will have them on the slide, but if you want, you can place a marker there in Psalm 40 and 86 as we're going to be turning back and forth through these three psalms this morning. But I want you to note that as dark and as sad as Psalm 116:3 looks, reading the rest of this psalm shows us the deliverance that God provided and the thankfulness within its author's heart, very possibly David. Twice the author here is going to declare in verse 16, I am your servant, showing his humility before God. But before we get to the deliverance, before we get to the salvation of the Lord, there are the cords of death and the terrors of Sheol around David. Those words would... I was reading an article by a guy named Roger Shouse. I've never met him, but he's a name well known in the Brotherhood. And I was reading this article, and he took this phrase, the cords of death and the terrors of Sheol, and he said, those words would make a great promo for a haunted house. And it made me chuckle at that that's true. That's what you want to do when you have a haunted house. You want someone to be frightened. The author here, possibly David, is saying he's frightened. He says the cords of death, the terrors of Sheol have encompassed him. To be encompassed means to be surrounded with. He feels like all around him is death. Have you noticed how many times in David's life that death encompassed him? Just to name a few, and it almost took up an entire slide just to name these few. Before fighting Goliath, David told King Saul in 1 Samuel 17, 34 to 37, that he fought a lion and a bear as his role of shepherd protecting his father's flock. Can you imagine that? His job as shepherd is to lay his life on the line for the livestock, for the animals. He fought a lion and a bear. I can tell you, living in Alaska for as long as we did and being here for 4 years, it's kind of nice to not have the threat of bears. I didn't have the threat of lions there, but I had several close encounters with grizzly bears. They called them brownies there, the brown bears, the big ones. And I can tell you, I was not enthusiastic about going toe-to-toe, fist-to-fist with one of those brown bears. I didn't want to face one without a pistol, or better yet, a rifle from 100 yards away. I didn't want to be up close. But David tells Saul that when the lion and the bear took a lamb, he chased after it. He grabbed it by its beard and he struck it and killed it. Maybe he had a staff, maybe that he had a sling. Who knows what he used, but it was too close for me. That was a close call for David. David could have died in any one of those encounters with the bear and the lion, but he said God was there protecting him. Then he goes on to face Goliath, the Philistine giant, the champion of Gath, that terrified veteran and seasoned soldiers in Saul's army. That for 40 days, not one man would take up Goliath's challenge. And David said, "Here I am. I'll take it." And David went into the ring, so to speak, against Goliath. Someone that Saul reminded him was a warrior trained since he was a youth. And David says, "I got this." Why? Not because of David's power or strength or finesse or military might, but because he said, "God is on my side." And David waded into the foray. Then there were the times when Saul threw spears at David, twice trying to pin him to a wall. That's close. Those were close calls. 1 Samuel 18, 10 to 11, 1 Samuel 19, 9 to 10. You can read Saul's intent was to pin him to the wall, to impale him with a spear. And David was able to get away. Then there was the dowry of 100 Philistine foreskins that David had to get to marry the girl that was promised to him for taking out Goliath, the princess Michal, Saul's daughter. Saul planned to get David killed by the hands of the Philistines. That's why he gave him such a wacky, wild, and dangerous way to get a dowry. And David was so eager, he took his men and he brought back 200. But that put him in harm's way. He faced death to marry the princess, who he had already faced death by taking out Goliath for her hand. And you can read of that in 1 Samuel 18 and verse 25, and you read Saul's plan to have David killed, and that's why he gave him that mission. That was close. David faced death. Then on the run from Saul, he had many close encounters with Saul's army and the Philistines. And in any one of those encounters, David could have died. Later in life, Absalom, his own son, tried to kill him and created a civil war. 2 Samuel chapters 15 through 18. That was close. David came real close, running from Absalom. If Absalom had just listened to the right man with the right advice, David and his men would have been overrun and overtaken. But because of the intervention of God and David's plan and a great friend who put his life on the line, Absalom listened to the worst advice he could have possibly listened to, and David's life was spared. But the point is, David looked into the eyes of death more than once. And so as the author of this psalm writes, "The cords of death and the terrors of death," or Sheol, "encompass me." He's surrounded by death. He's surrounded by terror. This sums up David's life. David faced death throughout his life. You know, most of us live a fairly safe life every day. For us, perhaps a mere car wreck is about as close to a calamity that we ever see. Or perhaps a sickness In this time and place, the time we live in, the coronavirus is a real danger to many. My family, COVID-19 came to our doorstep. And what was weird was not just to us here in Virginia, but my family across the country in Washington. We were all kind of hit back to back at the same time. My mom and dad at the end of November. Then my sister and brother-in-law, who also lived there and were helping take care of my mom and dad. And then my family here. And then a couple other families here. And again, not here at the building, but interactions outside. And some families weren't even connected with the other. It's just something that happens. We get overcome by sickness. And it becomes stressful. But can we really say death encompasses us? Well, there's times in life we might feel that way. And there's times in life that that's true. Families that are facing the death of a loved one, they certainly can say, the cords of death and the terrors of Sheol encompass me. But for the most part, on a day-to-day basis, death doesn't seem to encompass us. The terrors of Sheol is something most of us don't face on a daily basis. For most of us, the terrors of Sheol is something we don't have a clue about what that looks like. And while it's good to be safe and to feel protected and secure, maybe sometimes those very things are the things that make us isolated from needing God. Because when we feel safe and protected and secure, maybe we're not praying the way that we should. Maybe we're not drawing near to Him the way that we should. We need to remember God even in the times that we feel protected, safe, and secure. But what's interesting is at the end of Psalm 116:3, that I want to focus in on, because not all of us are going to always day to day be encompassed around by death and the terrors of Sheol. But he says, I found distress and sorrow. That's something we know. That's something we might face on a daily basis. Most people don't go looking for these things. They seem to find us. A family member being sick, an entire family being sick, this can cause distress, sorrow. This can cause disastrous consequences based on what the severity could be. When these things find us, it certainly changes our schedules. It flips our moods around and it hangs like a dark cloud above us. And we often wonder when we're in the midst of that sickness, even if it's just a cold. And my wife says I'm the biggest baby she's seen when I have a cold. Can you imagine what I was like when I had COVID? Although we had mild symptoms and it felt like a long cold. It changes our mood. It stresses us out. And it feels like it's never going to get better. That's what the psalmist here is getting the point across. I found distress and sorrow. David found them. I have certainly found them. Many people have found distress and sorrow. There are many people who could say that and identify with the psalmist here. I found distress and sorrow. But the question this morning isn't, are we going to find them? Yes, you will. It's not always a sickness. It could be problems at work. It could be interpersonal relationships, whether it's with family or friends. And certainly sometimes those interpersonal conflicts with family could be some of the most devastating things to our mood. They could have some of the most detrimental consequences to the way our outlook on life for that day goes. Because family is close. Family is someone we know intimately. And when there is hurt, when there is strife, when there is pain, we can certainly feel like we have found distress and sorrow. So the question this morning isn't, will you find them? The question this morning is, once you have found them, what do you do with them? Typically, people wait for them to leave. Things will get better. And we wait for distress and sorrow to move on, for the situation to correct and right itself. But distress and sorrow can sometimes take a long time to leave. Some try to hide these things by doing fun things. Maybe take a vacation. Take our mind off of that distress. Take our minds off those problems. Those are good things to do. Some people try to find relief in a bottle of some kind or form. Those are things not to do. Those things draw us away from God, not bring us closer. So what do? David's words can help us. David is a man that looked into the face of death more than once. He knew the terrors of Sheol, and he knew what it meant to find distress and sorrow. And so it'll behoove us this morning to look at what he did with them, to ask the question, when David found distress and sorrow, what did he do with them? Because that is the answer that will help us on our day-to-day problems. Because we will find distress and sorrow. We don't go looking for them. They seem to find us. But once they're there, what do we do with them? And I'm going to tell you, as we move through this psalm, the very next passage in verse 4 tells us David prayed. David prayed. You might remember in verse 1 where he says, I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I shall call upon him as long as I live. David saying, I will pray to God because he hears me. I will call out to him as long as I live. Verse 4, then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech you, save my life. What is the context here? Verse 3, the cords of death encompassed me and the terrors of Sheol came upon me. I found distress and sorrow. And in that moment of distress and sorrow, he says, then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech you, save my life. We can turn over to Psalm 40 and verse 1, where it tells us this is a psalm of David. And he says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. In Psalm 86 and verse 3, be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you I cry all day long. And if you were to go to verse 6 in that passage, you would see him say that God hears his prayers. David prayed. He cried out to God to save him. And we know that God did. Time and time again, as David faced death, as David found distress and sorrow, as he turned to God for his help, God saved him. God came to his defense. God was a shield and a rock and a refuge to him. There are times in life that no matter what the situation is, no matter how severe the distress and sorrow is that has found you, there are times in life that waiting for it to pass isn't the answer. That there's no one else that you can turn to but to the Lord. No one else can help you. And as you turn to the Lord, no one else can understand. No one's capable of understanding as deeply and intimately as the Lord. We can read in Hebrews chapter 2 and chapter 4 that Jesus in this life underwent every temptation known to man, and yet was without sin. And so he's called our high priest, who is empathetic. That means he knows what you went through. And it says we can turn to him and have help in our time of need. But don't wait until you've exhausted every option before you turn to the Lord in prayer. Pray first. Pray hard. Lay the problems before the Lord. Let the Lord know that Sheol, that is death, is terrifying you. Tell him what's going on. Tell the Lord of your distress and sorrow. We sing a song, and we're about to sing in a few minutes that Chuck has agreed to, has volunteered to lead. What a friend we have in Jesus. It says, take it to the Lord in prayer. This is based in Scripture in Philippians chapter 4. Turn over to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Place a marker there in Psalm 116. We're going to come right back. But in Philippians 4 and verse 6, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then it goes on to say, the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5. In 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 6. 1 Peter 5 and verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. When we find distress and sorrow, it can cause anxiety. We become anxious. God says, let me have that. I can take it. I'm not too small to handle that. In fact, he says, you're too small to handle that. You give it to me because I care for you. When we find distress and sorrow, take it to the Lord in prayer. The next thing we notice as we move through our psalm is that David gave thanks. In verse 6 of Psalm 116, he says, the Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and he saved me. Verse 8, for you have rescued my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. In verse 17, to you I shall offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. In Psalm 40 and verse 2, very similar thought. He says, he brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. In Psalm 86, 12 to 13, I will give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and will glorify your name forever. For your loving kindness toward me is great, and you delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. You see the similarities here. The cords of death, the terrors of Sheol had encompassed him. And he says God saved him from that pit of despair, that pit of destruction. He saved him from the depths of Sheol. And so he says, I will glorify your name forever. David was thankful that he was saved by God. David prayed and God answered. God was there. God delivered. You know, we sing a song, he is able to deliver thee, or God is able to deliver thee, depending on the version of the hymn book. But it's a great attitude that we're to have. And I think this attitude goes back to, is also rooted in Daniel chapter 3 with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel's three friends are brought before Nebuchadnezzar, and they are charged with not bowing to the statue that Nebuchadnezzar had said, when you hear all kinds of music, you're to bow, and if you don't, there's a fiery furnace that awaits. And so Nebuchadnezzar, because he had promoted these three Jews, and when he finds out that they are not obeying his commands and they're in a position of power and influence, he gives them a second chance. He says, well, maybe they didn't hear it right. So he reiterates the command. And they basically said, oh, king, we know what you said, and we don't have to give you an answer. They said, our God is able to deliver us. But if he chooses not to, we will not bow. They would take the consequences. And they were thrown into that fiery furnace. And God delivered them. But that's the attitude that we need to have today. God is able to deliver. He is able to save. But if he chooses not to, it's not going to change what I'm going to do. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be resolute. I'm going to do what is needed. Because I know that I serve a God who is there. And I serve a God who is able to deliver. David recognized that it wasn't an accident that he was saved. David recognized and understood that it was God who delivered him. He not only knew that, but he thanked the Lord because of that. So when you find distress and sorrow, thank the Lord for answered prayer in your life and for the blessings that he has bestowed. And note that the thankfulness sometimes comes before the deliverance. We thank him for the blessings he has bestowed, because he may choose not to save you in that particular time. And your life might be required. But we give him thanks. We give him thanks for answered prayer in times past, present. And we give him thanks for all that he has given to us and all that he has done for us. Colossians 3 and verse 17. In Colossians chapter 3, in verse 17, tells us that we are to be thankful people. It says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Sometimes we like to quote this passage and we stop there because we use this, and rightfully so, we use this to talk about authority. That everything we do needs to be in the name of Jesus. And if it can't be in His name, if He has not put His seal of authority on it, we shouldn't do it. That's right. But notice the next part. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Whatever you do in word or deed, that is everything that we're going to communicate on a day-to-day basis. Everything that we do is going to be communicated by word or by our actions. He says, do it in the name of the Lord and do it with thanksgiving. That's an amazing attitude He's telling Christians that we are to have. We're to be characterized by giving thanks to God through Jesus. Also look in 1 Thessalonians 5, starting in verse 16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Did you catch that? It's not optional. He says giving thanks is Jesus' will for you in your life. That's what God wants you to do. And David is a great example that we can read through the Psalms and see how thankful he was and how he expressed that thanks to God, both in psalm and in prayer. And the third thing that we look at in this psalm is that David honored and obeyed God, even when he found distress and sorrow. In Psalm 116:9, it says, I shall walk before the Lord in the land of the living. In Psalm 40, verse 16, let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Psalm 86:11, teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. David said the terrors of Sheol were all around him. Terror is dread. It's fear. We talked about in 1 Samuel 17, when David went to go face Goliath, it's because the army of Saul was terrified. There was a terror, a dread of the Philistine giant and their army that fell like a pall across the Israelite army in camp. And David cut right through that by saying, God is my salvation. David is saying, unite my heart to fear your name. Don't let me walk by fear. Don't let distress and sorrow cause me fear. Let me fear your name. Now we choose, no matter what is going on around us, pandemic, other things, family relationships, problems at work, don't walk by fear. Walk by faith. Live by faith. We don't live by fear. The fear that we live by is the fear David here is talking about. I will fear your name because God is able to deliver. God is our judge. It is to God we will be held accountable. David honored God by obeying Him. There's no doubt that if the author here in Psalm 116 is David, and there's no doubt that Psalm 40 and Psalm 86 that we know is from David, David is in a mess. He's frightened. He's terrorized. He has the cords of death all around him. And God's going to pull him out of that. David didn't just go on his way until the next time he needed God. That seems to be the habit so many people fall into. We wait till we're in trouble. We wait till we find sorrow and distress. And then we call out to God. God saves us. He rescues us. He delivers us. We forget about God, we continue on our way until the next time we find distress and sorrow. Not David. And I want to tell you that Bill Doughty came to me right before services and told me if they had to get up and leave, it was for something unrelated. He said it was not me. So I want you all to know that was not me. There's a few phrases here through Psalm 116. That I want us to look at, to see how David expressed honoring and following God. In verse 9, he says, I shall walk before the Lord. Verse 13, he says, I will call upon the name of the Lord. Verse 14, I will pay my vows. Verse 16, he says it twice, I am your servant. Verse 19, I will praise the Lord. David honored God by obeying Him. He didn't just wait until the next time he needed help. When God saved him, and David knew that, he recognized that. He says, I'm going to live the way you want me to live. I'm going to walk in your paths. I will pay my vows. I am your servant, and I will praise you. Having been rescued by God, David felt compelled to honor God, to stay with God, to follow him. And so should we. Look over in Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. In Mark chapter 12 and verse 30, and hear the words of our Lord. As he quotes from the Old Testament, when asked what the greatest command is, he says in verse 30, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength." Is there any part of that that leaves room for you to only give God a part? Jesus says God wants all of you. He wants every part of you. He wants your heart, your soul, your strength, and your mind. We don't get to hold a portion back and say, this is for me. We give it to God. That's the type of people that we are to be. That no matter what stressful situation, no matter how sorrowful, no matter how dark it might look, fear ought to compel us to turn to the Lord, not away from Him. Fear needs to be expelled from our lives as we look to Him in faith. And it doesn't mean there's not fearful times. Well, there certainly is. The psalmist was fearful. David was fearful. But we don't live in fear. We turn it to God. We praise Him, we honor Him, and we obey Him, and we serve Him. And 2 John verse 6 tells us that what we do out of love. In 2 John verse 6, he says, "And this is love, that we walk according to His commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it." How can we tell God, I love you, and then ignore His commands? John says you can't. He says, this is love, that we walk according to His commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. By walking in it, he's saying what David said, I will follow your ways. I will walk in your paths. Three simple things: prayer, thankfulness, and honoring God. When distress and sorrow find you, or you find them, this is what you need to do. Do as David did. Go to God in prayer. Give thanks to God and honor Him with your obedience and love. Don't allow distress and sorrow to ruin your relationship with God. Don't allow those ugly twins to keep you from praising God and worshiping Him the way that we should. Don't let those things let you hold back a portion of your heart or your mind or your soul or your strength. But give yourself fully into God's hands. David said of his plight that he was afflicted and needy, but he called on God to save him. I want you to notice four different psalms with me. Three are going to be very familiar, but then I threw in an extra one too because I like what it says. But in Psalm 40 and verse 17, David says, "Since I am afflicted and needy, let the Lord be mindful of me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God." David's not saying, "I'm so prideful, I can't say that I'm needy." It's one thing to say you're afflicted. But David says, "I am afflicted and needy," because he knows there's no one else he can turn to for help. And so he turns to God. In Psalm 70 and verse 5, this is the new one. We haven't looked at Psalm 70 this morning till now. David says, "But I am afflicted and needy. Hasten to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay." David is saying, "I need you. I am afflicted. I am in pain. I am in fear. I am in sorrow. I am in distress. The cords of death have encompassed me. And I need you." David says in Psalm 86 and verse 1, "Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am afflicted and needy." And Psalm 116:10, I believed when I said, I am greatly afflicted. David says, I'm in a mess. I'm in trouble. And I don't see a way out in my own strength and by my own power. I need you. David had that humble heart to be able to go to God and express such need in his times of distress. Brethren, that's the kind of humble heart that we need. To be able to tell God, I'm afflicted and needy, and I'm not ashamed to say it, and I need you. I need your deliverance. I need your help. That's the kind of heart that we're to have. David didn't pull away from God when he found distress and sorrow to such a degree that he was able to say, I'm afflicted and needy. But in fact, we see that David drew closer to God. And that's what we're to do. We're going to almost close on this passage. In James 4, 6 to 10, I encourage you to read that on your own. But in verse 8 of that passage, he says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And then he tells them, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Put away sin, so that you can call on God, that you can draw near to him. Distress and sorrow will either cripple your faith, or it will propel it to soar to new heights. That's how David took distress and sorrow. He didn't let it drive him away and ruin his relationship with God. He let it propel him to soar to new heights, drawing closer to him. But the choice is up to you. Are you reaching out to God, or are you ignoring him? Do you allow distress and sorrow to keep you home, or do you get out to serve him? There's a passage in Psalm 48 to 10 that I want to close on. David writes through the Spirit, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I have proclaimed glad tidings of righteousness in the great congregation. Behold, I will not restrain my lips, O Lord. You know, I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great congregation. David's saying, I didn't just hide it in my heart. I told people about it. I shared it. I let everybody know that you are my help. You are my deliverer. You are my rock and you are my salvation. He says, I let everybody know. I will not restrain my lips. I did not hide my righteousness within my heart. He didn't stay at home. And I'm not meaning that in a literal or figurative, I'm meaning that in a figurative sense, not just a literal sense. He didn't keep it to himself, is what he's saying. He went out and he's continued to serve God. What about us? It's so easy when we let fear encompass us. And we let distress and sorrow hang over our heads like a dark cloud. It's hard to express gladness and tidings of good things. Those are hard times. Those are difficult times. But even in those moments of sorrow and distress, we ought not hide our righteousness within our hearts. We should not restrain our lips from speaking of the praises of God. We should do as David did, and let everyone know where we stand. David found distress and sorrow. I have found distress and sorrow. And so will you. You will find distress and sorrow. But what will you do when you find them? That's the question that all of us are going to be held accountable for one day. What did you do when you found distress and sorrow? And I would remind you, David took it to the Lord in prayer. David gave thanks, and David honored God with his love and his obedience. In just a second, Brother Chuck is going to lead us in singing number 566. I want you to pay attention to the words of this song as we sing it, that we sing out from our hearts, and we mean what we say to him in song. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. Remember the passage we read? Give him your anxieties and your burdens because he cares for you. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find the solace there. To me, those are some beautiful words, and words that bring comfort and encouragement when we find distress and sorrow. Words that remind us, just as the psalm that we've read, take it to the Lord in prayer. And this morning, if you're not a Christian, you can become one. You can become a child of God without delay. That you can take it to the Lord in prayer and give him your anxieties and your burdens and do so as a child of his, knowing that he will incline his ear and hear. And this morning, if you are a Christian not living the way that you should, now's the time to make it right. Now's the time to repent and get rid of those barriers between you and your God. And if we can assist you in whatever your request might be this morning, the waters of baptism or the prayers of the congregation on your behalf, come forward and let these things be known now while we stand and sing.